Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Filmmaker Hannah Guggenheim is here with me. Hannah, you broke out your down coat. It must be winter's coming.
It is. It's 38 degrees this morning. It's here.
It's here. And also, the screening of your film is finally here. I know that people have been talking about this. It's going to be this Wednesday, right?
This Wednesday, the 30th, from 6 to 8 at the Community House.
Okay. And it's a documentary?
It's a documentary film I shot over the course of 5 years. It was part of my MFA thesis for graduate school at San Francisco State. I'm a Bay Area filmmaker. I've been making films for about 10 years. So I set out to make a film. And it was a collaborative documentary shot with two boys, Benji and Judah. We filmed from the time they're about 14 to the time they're about 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And so this film is sort of a portrait of a story about two boys and their family. And what I learned was that collaboration is really necessary. I trained both the kids on cameras and, you know, my theory is that a lot of times filmmakers go into situations, they have access, they know how to use the equipment, but they're not always the best storytellers. So what I learned was a really empowering experience for all three of us. But also, you know, I got a chance to get to know a really interesting family of nine. And so this is a portrait of that family.
Yeah. And this film also speaks for itself. Let's play a little clip. Hannah has plugged in her laptop to our board here. Here's just a little bit of what Benji and Judah sounds like.
This is a story about two brothers. I'd seen Benji and Judah in my Oakland neighborhood for years. Eventually, I got to know them. Over the course of 4 years, we worked together to document their lives.
I found out when I was 7 months pregnant that Benji and Judah had spinal bifida. A condition that leaves their spine open and damaged. With to see the neurosurgeons, asked me did I want to keep the baby, and I told him
yes. Why are you looking so mad, Judah? I don't know, what's wrong with Judah? He keep getting mad.
They need help,
Judah. I was happy that I was pregnant with twins, even though I knew something was going to be wrong. But I didn't worry about it. It just like, I was just asking the Lord to give me grace to take care of them when I had them. And he did, you know, and I was married when I had him to their father. And then a couple of years later, we got divorced. And I had to become a single parent raising these two boys with seven other kids.
All right, a little clip from Benji and Judah, which a film by Hannah Guggenheim, which will be screened this Wednesday. Hannah Guggenheim is with me here in the studio. And you can't listen to that mom without just stopping. She asked the Lord to give her grace to make this decision. She had seven other children and was told that she was carrying twins with spina bifida.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't a difficult decision for her. And to top it off, she was also an identical twin as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a very special connection with these two boys. And I think that she, in some ways, felt like this was her God-given right to raise these boys and felt that it was her responsibility. But in a situation where she's a single mother, how do you raise nine children? And it not only impacts her directly or the boys, but the entire family system was impacted. So it was interesting to see how a family navigates the family structure with two of the youngest kids being as sick as they had been. And I had this fantasy that the filmmaking process was just going to be the three of us running around Oakland, California, making a film. But within the first 2 weeks of the filmmaking process, they both ended up in the hospital. And oftentimes they would. When one of the boys would get sick, the other would get sick. And so so I think it explains what spina bifida, the film touches really lightly on the fact that they have spina bifida, which means that the spinal column didn't close properly upon formation during birth. But what I found was that as they were going through puberty, that they had a lot more issues. So surgeries ensued. And so I had to decide as a filmmaker whether or not we should film or not film. So it was difficult, but because we became so close, it became more about that the camera was an excuse to have this great connection with these kids. But what came out of it was a pretty interesting filmmaking experience.
I can imagine that for kids in their situation, for a family in this situation where, you know, some of their options in the world are limited due to spina bifida, that the opportunity to work with a filmmaker, I mean, something that where there are no limits in filmmaking, they must have really responded to that.
Well, sometimes, but these are pretty tough kids from inner city Oakland, so sometimes they loved me and sometimes they really, you know, didn't think I was so cool. Right. I mean, granted, we're all really good friends, but we for the most part, structured the filmmaking process when they wanted to film, and sometimes girls were, like, more interesting than the filmmaking process. So it was well negotiated, and, of course, I first thought that I was going to film for about a year, and then I thought to myself, well, this is a longer-term project, and I was fine with that.
Why did it take so long?
Well, the first year and a half of the filmmaking process, Judah, one of the brothers, almost died. And so I had to decide whether or not to film or whether or not to support the family, in which case I had, you know, oftentimes would put the camera down and try to just, you know, taxi the family back and forth to the hospital. They didn't have a car. Public transportation is difficult. One of the other boys in the family was actually shot during the filmmaking process, so I had to kind of step into the family system and spend more time supporting the family than making the film. So it was an interesting, you know, question of, like, what is objective filmmaking and what is, you know, integrity. And so a lot of times I felt like it was more important for me to focus on helping the family out. In addition to the fact that during the 5 years that we made the film, they were jumping back and forth between housing programs that offered limited solutions to their homeless issues. So it was hard to see, but also really eye-opening. Well, a lot of times we don't realize that our neighbors who are just down the street are people that are, you know, struggling. We just pass by them every day, and then suddenly, you know, as a filmmaker, I realize, you know, the complexities of various families.
Do you think you ever got in too deep, or could this film not have been possible unless you had kind of gained this level of intimacy with the family?
That's the type of filmmaking I have historically made, is collaborative films with at-risk youth, families on the verge, people that may not be the easiest project. It's fairly ambitious, but I feel like as a filmmaker, those are the stories I really want to tell. Because, you know, back to what I was saying about filmmaking being fairly elite, we as filmmakers have a responsibility to consider what are the true stories. So I'm interested in telling, you know, documentaries that aren't necessarily that easy but are worth challenging myself and also the audience to realize that this film is, you know, kind of a terse look at a family that because I had the time and decided, and ambition, I decided to go ahead and make the film. But would I do it again? I don't know. I've never, I don't think I considered that in the beginning, but I certainly learned a lot. I don't have an answer.
Well, you never know. I mean, this movie took you by surprise. Probably future films will as well. Hannah, I know that this is its debut in Sitka this Wednesday, 6 o'clock at the Shikaquan Nakahiti, but the film has been screened elsewhere and has been pretty well received.
I've been screening nationally. It started, I got into my first film festival last October at Mill Valley Film Festival, but I'm actually really interested in using it for educational value. So although I've done film festivals, I'm spending more time focusing on getting it to disability studies programs around the country. And so that's my objective.
So it's being used for training, but it's not a training film.
It's not necessarily being used for training. It's actually being used in academic
classrooms. Right.
Largely focusing the classes are focusing on race and disability. It's a new area of research that hasn't been looked at over time. So this is sort of the new film in the canon of films of disability.
Okay. And it's also being used as a fundraising opportunity for organizations that can do good out there. This program Wednesday is a benefit for the Rotary Wheelchair Program, right?
I'm working with a couple organizations. SAIL, Ludwig's Bistro's been so gracious in donating food, light fare for the screening, and the proceeds go to the Rotary Club Wheelchair Project, which means that the money that we're raising is going to go towards raising funds for wheelchairs that we can buy for people that can't afford them.
All right. Hannah, we've got to go. Thanks a lot for
Thanks.
Coming in.
Appreciate it.
And we'll see you Wednesday at
Thanks.
The Sheetkakwan Nakahini. I've been speaking with Hannah Guggenheim. She's a filmmaker. She'll be screening her film Benji and Judah, 6 o'clock Wednesday the 30th at the Sheetkakwan Nakahini. Tickets are $25. They're on sale at Old Harbor Books. It's a benefit for the Rotary Wheelchair Project.